Go to our message now. My scripture reading today is in Mark 13, going back to the same chapter that we were last Shabbat. So Mark 13, and I'd like to start with the 24th verse. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers that are in heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth the angels and will gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest ends of the earth to the farthest ends of heaven. Now learn the parable from the fig tree when the branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves. You know that summer is near. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you rested on this day. You set that first example for all of mankind. And Heavenly Father, you sanctified the Sabbath, set it aside as holy. The one day in seven that we're supposed to not work. Heavenly Father, turn our thoughts and attention to you. And Heavenly Father, live that day for you. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless the words that we speak and the thoughts that we express and help them to help each of us as you would. In the name of your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask and amen. It's interesting that last Shabbat, my message to you was entitled, Everything in Advance. And these were the words that Yeshua stated to the people, his followers at that time, and on that particular day. He stated these words that he was giving to them and was making known to them everything in advance. And of course, that everything in advance had to do with the end times, with things that was to happen and circumstances that was to be prevalent at the end time. There would be wars. There would be rumors of wars. There would be pestilences. There would be famines. There would be earthquakes in many different places. And of course, we might use the word tsunami. That wasn't in the Bible, but it certainly came along with the earthquake that hit Japan, didn't it? So these words are very much for us today, very pertinent to us today, very relative, and we can get a lot of meaning from them. And of course, they had relevance right when Jesus spoke these ever since then up to our point in time, and there they have relevance very much into the future that we have not got to yet. It's interesting that these particular words that were written that I've read to you last Shabbat and today, these words were spoken just before Passover. Yeshua's last Passover as a human with his disciples and his followers. So we could say, you know, we're a few weeks right now before our Passover and our service that we will have in this sanctuary. A few weeks ahead of Passover. Perhaps it was about that kind of time when these words were first spoken by Yeshua and remembered by his disciples and written down at some point in time and recorded. all the way up to the time that the translations were made, and we got the King James Version. And then, of course, since that point in time, many, many, many other versions. But it was this time of the year that these words were first given. Last Shabbat, we learned from Yeshua the signs and circumstances at the time of His final coming, which is referred to many times in God's Word, in your Holy Bible. Many times it's referred to as the great and terrible day of the Lord. The great day of the Lord. Verse 20 of Mark chapter 13 that my scripture reading was taken from. Verse 20 lets us know that, referring to that particular time that Jesus was speaking of, that no life would be saved, there would be no human beings left alive on this earth unless the days were shortened. Isn't that interesting? At that time, out in the future, from where we are now, unless Yahweh shortened the days, there would be no flesh left alive unless the days were shortened. Evidently, a time so terrible with calamities and catastrophes that are just totally mind-boggling. When you read the different prophecies concerning the very last times, speaking of the day of the Lord, speaking of the 7 years of tribulation period before that great and terrible day of the Lord. The descriptions that you read whenever you research it and you read about the things that will happen, including Jesus' words here in Mark chapter 13, it is something else what's going to be happening. And when you read that particular verse that says that no flesh would be saved unless the days were shortened, how can you interpret that any other way other than a natural calamity, a catastrophe, asteroid hitting the earth, fire coming down from heaven, perhaps from God, something happening that accidentally or otherwise that would be either a degree of atomic warfare or accidental use of atomic weapons or biological weapons. You know, all of those are things that is very possible. Whenever you consider just that one verse, at that particular time, no flesh would be saved in this future time, the day of the Lord, unless the days were shortened. We know that God has everything under control and in control. And we know that He's going to keep it there. We know that we don't have, as children of God, we shouldn't fear. We shouldn't worry. We shouldn't be overly anxious or concerned about this futuristic time period. Certainly about Yeshua coming back to this earth at His second coming. He's going to be coming for us. Why should we be fearful about our Father God and His only begotten Son, Yeshua, having plans to include us in their family which will last forever and ever and ever, and they're coming to get us. Why would we be fearful? Why would we be overly anxious at that time? We shouldn't be. But yet we want to examine the words of Yeshua and where He tells the people at His day, 2,000 years ago approximately, He wanted them to know these things. And so He spoke these words to His followers, and they remembered the words and they wrote them down, and so we have them today. So obviously He wants us to know and us to have them to consider for living our life. There will be things just of unbelievable proportion that will be going on. You know, you just quickly you just quickly consider the possibility of an asteroid hitting the earth. Well, you know, people's minds said, well, a big rock, 3 feet in diameter, will come down out of the sky and hit the ground and just pass it off. But the thing about it is, when you really think about what happens whenever that kind of event, if it happened, it's like a ballooning effect, and it's like it's much worse than in our minds we could just initially think about. First of all, it might not be 3 feet in diameter, it might be 3 miles in diameter. Who knows? And who knows if that really is one of the end time events? Certain scriptures would leave you to definitely believe that it's a very real possibility. I'm saying God gives us His word here to lead us and guide us, let us know all things, gives us answers to all of our questions, and we have but to study and find them and take it to heart and believe them. Jesus said in our reading last week, He says, be alert. He said, listen up. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you everything in advance. And to him, this chapter 13 of Mark was telling you what he wanted you to know and what he meant by the statement that was interpreted, everything in advance. My message to you today is entitled, All in Advance, 2. In other words, same thing, just a little continuation and other thoughts and other scriptures. Let's read verse 19 of Mark 13. For those days will be a time of tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the creation, which God created until now, and never will. Nothing like what we're speaking of has ever happened before to the proportions and the magnitude that we are speaking of, and that Jesus was trying to get the people to understand. Nothing had ever happened like that before to that magnitude and degree, and never would. Again, we're talking about big things. Let's go to when we're talking about the day of the Lord. Let's go to verse 24 of chapter 13 of Mark. Let's see how this is worded. But in those days referring to the day of the Lord, referring back to what was spoken of in the verses above. In verse 19, for those days will be a time of tribulation, such has not occurred since the beginning of the creation. That is what those days is what it's speaking of in verse 24. It goes back to verse 19. In other words, a time of tribulation. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. That don't sound like a very pleasant day to me. It's certainly not like the day that we have outside today that God has blessed us with. The sun is darkened. The moon does not give its normal light. The stars will be falling from heaven. I think that's going to be a lot greater magnitude than what you've ever seen before. And the powers that are in heavens will be shaken. That leaves you wondering exactly what that might be meaning. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then what happens after all of the previous? Then they will see the Son of Man. All through the Bible, the Son of Man is referred to as Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the only begotten Son of Yahweh the Father. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And at that same time, he sends his angels all over the earth, the way the scriptures read, and gathers his elect, all that are ready to meet him at his coming. Remember the scripture, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those that are alive and ready at that time will follow right behind to meet him in the air. Gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest end of the earth to the farthest end of heaven. Okay. We have signs of the sun, the moon, the stars, the powers of heaven is involved. All those things will be happening and involved at that time. The powers in heaven shaken. Yeshua comes, and he is seen coming. It doesn't happen secretly. It doesn't happen, and you're zapped out of here, and your neighbor or next door don't even know what's going on, don't hear a thing, don't know you're missing. That isn't the way it's going to happen, regardless of anything that you've ever heard. First of all, in verse 24, tells us when in the days after the tribulation, what does modern mainstream Christianity tell you? It's before tribulation is what they tell you, pre-trib. Before tribulation, Jesus comes and zaps out the ones that are living right and ready, the Christian people. Zaps them out, they're gone. They don't have to go through the bad stuff, the 7 years of tribulation. This totally rejects that. But in those days, the days of tribulation, after that tribulation, we want to be sure that we have the when, and that's the when that I've just stated, the how, with what's going on around us, the sun, moon, stars, that's the how. And then where? I'm talking about the main place on this earth that all of this focus is going to be on. Where is the primary focus going to be? Some people would say that it's the same place that the focus has always been. But of course, I don't quite think it's talking about this particular degree. To me, the focus spiritually and religious, biblically, has always been Jerusalem. That was God's holy city. That's where God's original nation was formed at. And it is where all of these end times things, the primary focus and the primary place is going to be in the general area that it all started anyway. And I'm talking about even if you go back to Adam and Eve, that was generally in this same area. That's the focus, always has been the focus. The place is at Jerusalem. Let's go to Zechariah 14 and verse 1. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord when the spoil taken from you will be divided among you. Now listen at this, Zechariah 14, 2. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city will be captured, the houses plundered, the women ravished, and half the city exiled. But the rest of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as when he fights on a day of battle. In that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which is in front of Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in its middle from east to west by a very large valley, so that half of the mountain will move toward the north and the other half toward the south. You will flee by the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains will reach to Azel. Yes, you will flee just as you fled before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Then the Lord, my God, will come, and all the holy ones with him. In that day, there will be no light. The luminaries will dwindle. There are several hundred years before Jesus Christ. We're reading about how the heavens are going to be looking at that end time. And it all agrees. It's going to be a darkened day. And that's exactly what it's saying here. For it will be a unique day, which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night. But it will come about that at evening time, there will be light. Do you understand? Zechariah 14, 1 through 7. You can read it again later. That's the place that all of this, the primary focus, the specific spot on this earth that the end time things is going to be happening at. But remember, Yahweh is going to gather all the nations of the earth together at that place at the end time, gather together to battle against Jerusalem. What everybody in this world would call, let's go get the Jews. You know, the Jews are caused all this evil. Let's blame them for everything. You might take note how your Bible reads when it specifically talks about the Jewish people in the New Testament. The way that it was translated and the way that the words are given in there is not complimentary at all. And perhaps that's why the mainstream Christianity seems to think of the Jewish people, and I'm talking about the majority, they want to just say the Jews killed Jesus. As if it was every one of the Jews. As if it was the whole nation of Israel that killed the Jews. But nothing could be further than from the truth. There was thousands of Jews that accepted Jesus, that followed him. Followed him sometimes daily, for days. Thousands that were saved, that accepted him as the Messiah. And yet to lump them all into something and to cause so much of the world to be anti-Jewish, it's ridiculous. Just a total misconception. And to think that God would ever turn his back on the nation and the children that was originally chosen by him to do his work, just as ridiculous. God will never do that. All through his word, he turns back to his chosen people. He is never going to reject them for any length of time. Many times in the history in your Bible that you will read, God forgives. God accepts back. God hears prayers directed to him for forgiveness. He will never turn his back totally on the Jewish people, on the Israelites, on the nation Israel, on the city Jerusalem. They will always be precious to him as they ever was. But naturally, he hates disobedience. He hates sin, no matter where it's coming from, or no matter who commits it. We need to be obedient. We need to always turn to him. We need to learn from the examples of the Jewish people, of the Israelites. We need to learn that they were disobedient beyond our imagination, considering the blessings that God had for them and considering all of the things that he did for them through all the years. How could they ever turn their back on Yahweh? How could they ever resort to the things that the pagan people were doing to their gods and for their gods, supposedly? Of course, their gods, as I've said many times before, their gods don't exist. There is no other God other than Yahweh. He is the one and only. All others are fakes. Make-believes, imaginary, even made out of wood and stone and steel and gold and silver, but all figments of the imagination of humans. But we have one true, living, merciful God, and that God is Yahweh. What about the specific day and hour? We're nailing down pretty closely here a lot of things. Jesus, Yeshua, is letting us know everything in advance, all in advance. And he's coming, he's pretty well giving it all. But what about that specific day, one moment in time? What about that? In Mark 13, verse 32, let's go there, Dave. It lets us know the answer to the specific day and hour that these things are to happen. That is, Yeshua splits the sky and his angels sent to gather everyone together to meet him in the air. Verse 32 says that only Yahweh knows. Not Yeshua, not anyone else, only the Father. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son. How could it be any more clear? But the Father alone, Yahweh. He alone knows the day and hour of the coming of Yeshua, His only begotten Son. Let's see what Yeshua's advice is in verse 29. Even so, you too, when you see these things happening, recognize that He is near, right at the door. How near is that? If you're right at the door, the implications is you're going to reach out, turn the doorknob, and open it. It's going to be quick. He is near. When you see these things happening, you see all these things coming to be. And now we're specific. We're not talking any day and every day. The Son has signs for us to watch for in it. The moon has signs. Things around us are going to be going on. Is that happening today? No, it isn't. Not at this particular moment, it isn't. So Jesus is letting us know all in advance. But know that when you do see these things happening in this way and in the magnitudes that the Bible and Yeshua lets us know that He is near, right at the door. How quickly will that end be? I'd like to go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2. For you yourselves know full well that, here again, the day of the Lord, that's that expression that I want you to be so familiar with, that occurs all through God's Word. That's what we're talking about here. That the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Do you know when the thief is coming? You know how he's going to come? You know what door he's going to come in or what window he's going to come in? It's going to be when you're not expecting it. It's going to be quick. It's going to be sudden. That's why Jesus says, be alert. Watch. Pray. Be on your guard. Be serving Him is what it amounts to every day of your life. Be working for Him. Let's go to Matthew 24 and 27. He will come like a thief in the night. Matthew 24, 27. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. How quick does lightning flash? Pretty quick. It's over in a second or two. Quick. Just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, how quick can you bat your eyelid? Real quick. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. Just like Jesus Christ was changed from a human back to spiritual when he went back to Yahweh, we're going to go through the same transformation. And it's going to be quick. And it's going to be at that time that we're speaking of. At that time that Yeshua comes back to this earth. And we which are alive and remain will follow those that are dead in Christ. And we will be caught up to meet him in the air. And so will we ever be with the Lord from that time on. Forever and ever and ever. Never ending. The evil, Satan and his angels, the evil here on this earth, when they get their final judgment and it's exacted upon them, that's going to be it for them. They won't continue more. It will be the end. No more. No existence of any type, spiritual or otherwise. That's it. And I've said before, it'll be as if they never even lived. It's all important that you live for God, that you hold on to God's hands to the very end, to your last breath. That's the way his words read. Endure to the end. Let's go to Revelation 1 and 4. And I'm getting to the close very quickly. Revelation 1, 4. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? And in verse 7, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be. Amen. It is to be quick. It's going to be unexpected, even though God gives us in advance all to know. Let's see what 2 Peter 3:10 says. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. It's the second verse that we read that expresses it like that. The day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. That's a lot to consider, along with all of the other expressions of this end period. And in closing, let's go to Revelation 22 and 20. And we're going to agree with John the Revelator and the words that he speaks concerning this time of the Lord. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Yeshua. And we would say, yes. Come, Lord. And I would like for all of us to stand right now. I'd like for you to do some more reading on this day of the Lord. Do some more research. And I want us to go to the blessing of God to us and our blessing from God to each other. And let's read this in on the wall in Numbers 6, 24. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Wonderful words. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, on you and give you peace. Wonderful words. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father.